maybe lav dafka. Rashi mentions several considerations that relate to how it works when you know to reshus mireish galusa, you become pasa milishalet. Right away, in the Gemara, Rashi points out nachas birshus. So at first glance, you read those words and you don't know what Rashi is telling us. I mean, the Gemara said that. You want to judge and be patur milishalem, so lishko reshusa. So Rashi simply echoes what the Gemara says. The kevan de birshus nachas lo mishalem. I mean, that's exactly what we said. You nachas birshus and you don't pay. So what is Rashi adding to the Gemara? What exactly is the reason why you're patur milishalem? Now, we'll see soon in Tosfos and Ran and Rishonim, they all bring in something called Hefker based in Hefker. And that's associated with the Koach of the Reish Galusa, and the Gemara explains he's called a Shevet, and Rashi comments on that, the fact that he has a Koach of Hefker based in Hefker. We have to know how to relate Hefker based in Hefker to the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa doesn't sound like he's a Beis Din. If anything, the term that's used by the Rambam and the Ran is the idea of a Melech, a Svara. But obviously that is not totally removed from Hefker Beis and Hefker. That could indicate that Hefker Beis and Hefker is also stemming from the Koach of Svara. That's what we noted in the Dvar Avram. So we see that the Koach of being Pater Milishalein that you get from Reish Galusa is a function of the power that he has of Hefker based in Hefker. So simply that could mean that since he can say that your money is not yours, so he can tell you a prospective dayan that you can make a mistake and you won't have to pay because he has a koach of a mamonam shel Yisrael. So therefore, with the power vested in him, he can grant you a halacha to be patur from paying somebody what you would otherwise have to pay. So that could work by itself. And that could be how many Rishonim understand the idea of Reish Galusa giving Rishus to the extent that you're Patur Milishalei. Namely, Hefker Beis and Hefker. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. But the strange thing in Rashi is that, so why did Rashi not say that right away? Rashi brings in Hefker Beis and Hefker at a later point in the Gemara when the Gemara talks about the Koach of the Reish Galusa being able to grant Rishus even for Eretz Yisrael, because he's a Shevet and Nasi is a Mechokek. And that's where Rashi points out the idea of Hefker Beis and Hefker. Rashi should have said this right at the beginning of the Gemara. The third difficult variable that Rashi introduces, which also has to be thought about, is the element of Malchei Paras. And that's not something we see anywhere else in the Rishonim. Tosus doesn't mention it, the Ran doesn't mention it, the Rambam doesn't mention it. Rashi introduces it, and what do you make of it? Yeah?
Maybe it could intersect with the idea of Dina de Malchus de Dina. So maybe to avoid that, it gives, I guess, the Reish Galusa and all parties are able to judge however they want and not have to worry about anyone else.
Okay, but why did Rashi say it? Rashi is commenting on Ro de Mesa'am, and Rashi says, you know, what exactly was happening, they had a koach mei malchi paras. Like, why is it relevant? What is Rashi, and what's the significance of it?
Maybe if you have the dina de mochot dina, maybe that would impede on the fact that did hefker beit the meter.
You mean that there should be a clash that should undermine the koach of hefker beit and hefker that the Torah gave them? So Rashi says it doesn't collide with it. To the contrary, they got the rishus. It's a suggestion. It's not totally off base. I mean, it's just that it comes out, Rashi's only mentioning it to anticipate a problem that you might have. Okay, it's a good attempt. I mean, it might be correct. There's a lot to say about this koach of Malchi Paras. Yes, please.
Do we know if Israel ever, like, could it be like a historical thing also? Like, could it be connected that, like, was Israel ever,
Well, the Tkufa in history of the Rashi Golios of the Bavel, we say this in Yekum Purkan even today, right? Even though the institution is long gone, but we talk about Rashi Galvasa, right? So, okay, you can apply it in some form or another, not exactly in the same way of the chain of David, but they served the role. But to the extent that they actually did serve in the capacity of Rashi Galio, so apparently that Kufan history was parallel to that which the Malchi Paras had the ultimate authority, and the Rashi Galio were getting some of their power, practically speaking. Practically speaking, the Malchi Paras gave it to them.
So
that's the Tumim's Kasha. Yonatan Eibishitz wrote the Tumim on Choshen Mishpat. He wrote Kresi Plesi on Yerodea, and he wrote the Urim V'Tumim on Choshen Mishpat. So the Tumim in Siman Gimel ask your Kasha. So how does this help Eretz Yisrael? Malchi Paras weren't in charge of Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi is bringing in Malchi Paras. That doesn't help Eretz Yisrael. So that's another good question.
It would help because if the people in Babel, if the rabbis in Babel had authority from the Malchi Paras, but the people in Eretz Yisrael did not, then the people in Eretz Yisrael, at least from Paras' perspective, they don't have authority to, they don't have authority to,
No, but the problem is that the Tiras Vishuas from Reish Galusa is helping in Eretz Yisrael. And if the whole koach that you're getting from Rosh Hagola is based on Malchi Paras don't have jurisdiction in Eretz Yisrael, so how does the Netilas Vishuas help you in Eretz Yisrael?
Because now the people from Paras they have rishus from in Babel itself, and also they can inherit the soil if it's not under Paras. But
that's the problem. To the extent that you want to define the koach of Rosh Hagola by explaining it that they have the rishus Malchi Paras, if that's what Rashi would mean, then how could that koach extend beyond the jurisdiction of Malchi Paras? 2 seconds. According to what Pinchas Tvija said, maybe it's not Kanat Akash. Rashi only meant to explain how they could have the koach in Bavel if there were Malchi Paras there and they wouldn't grant it, so then they would not be able to exercise the power. And the answer is no, it was consistent with the power that they got in Bavel, but the fact that they have the power, that derived from the Torah, not from Malchi Paras. The Torah says, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda. So that's why they could be giving koach for beyond Bavel. But within Bavel, you still have to justify the fact that they could do it, and that's why, because Malchi Paras gave them. Good, that would work. But if you would learn, Rashi, that the Malchi Paras somehow is relevant here, and it could have nafkaminas, as we'll get to the Rivash that's quoted in the Beis Yosef and Siman Gimel, that if a person would go directly to the authorities that have the power practically, and they would grant you something in the way of a Netilas Rishus, so maybe also it would work. Is that correct or not? That's the big question based on the Rashi. And again, this is a point that only Rashi makes. This is the Inyan of Hefker based on Hefker is mentioned in other Rishonim, and the Inyan of Amelach is mentioned in other Rishonim. But and yet this point about Malchi Paras seems to be Rashi going off on his own with it. So again, how much do you make of this Rashi? Who had the question? Aria, please.
I thought Malchi Paras spanned from Mehoshaphat back Kush, and it was like the world kingdom.
Yeah, we are not there, Baruch Hashem, right? We're talking about this, yeah?
I remember, in Jewish history, that was very talking about
this. Yeah.
I think it was
if it did, at one point in history, Bimei HaChashverosh, it doesn't mean that it was that way the entire span of time of the dynasties of the Rosh Hagola. It may have been, one point where he ruled over the whole world. Parasamada, yeah. What?
Purim was 500 years prior to...
Yeah, that's a whole period of history that's early, right? We're talking between the first and second base of Migdash, and we're talking about after this, we're talking about maybe the chain went all the way down, went further down. I mean, it could have started with Yehoyachin, we mentioned yesterday, which was obviously Golos Yechaniah. That could be the beginning of the line. But when the chain that we know of, that we speak of, we're talking about B'tkufas HaGemara. We have some names. Huna Bar Nassan, we have Mar Ukva, this is a contemporary of Shmuel. We have a whole list of Bustanayat later on. But we have a whole list of the Rosh Hagola, and that's obviously parallel to Malchi Paras, but not, it wouldn't be an Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so these are the difficulties in Rashi. The answer, and what seemingly in the first Rashi, that Rashi says nachat rishus, nachas rishus. So either you make it like it's a lav dafka. Rashi really means the koch of hefker based in hefker. He just didn't spell it out. And you'll see in the Lashon HaKesef Mishnah, I think it sounds that way, that he didn't make anything of that Rashi. That when Rashi starts by saying that since he was nachas rishus, Rashi just means the rishus of the Reish Galusa. How does it work? We'll get to that. The Gemara will explain it as we go along. Rashi didn't mean any special vort of nachas birshus. He just meant, I don't want to even, look, to me it seems a doichik in the words of Rashi, but what would it mean? It would mean that nachas birshus of the Reish Galusa, so, and that has its status, so lo mishale. What we wanted to say, and we were guided here by the language of Rashi Dav Gimel, and we saw already in the Yad Ramah that the Yad Ramah took Rashi more seriously than that. The Yad Ramah already, he asked the Kasha, but he took Rashi to mean that the poter here is the Nachas Rishus. What's the Rishus? The Rishus of Reish Galusa. So Rashi's not just echoing the Gemara. Rashi is teaching why it works. Nato Rishus Me Reish Galusa Yopata Melishalem. So Rashi explains, because Nachas Rishus, that's the basis to be pata. You have to know how to define that. Is it the notion of a masik birshus idea, some achronim want to connect it to? Is it a specific inyan by a dayan who has a right to judge is naturally putter? What is that idea? Okay, you can always dig deeper. But at least the first step is to define Rashi in the words as that alone is the basis to putter. The Yad Ramah jumps on Rashi and says that can be, because even what? Even without the tilos birshus, you have birshus ladu. But then we noted that there's a sugi of Gimel, where the Gemara talks about the Kasha being asked twice, Tolo Yishamu, and Rashi of all people gives the explanation of the Gemara's Kasha both times as Nachas Birshus, either Midrabana Nachas Birshus, the first Kasha of the Gemara by the three Adyotos, the Chachamim Lamachshir, or the second time, Nachas Birshus, because he's Midaraisa Chadami Kasher. Now, that's not the only way to read the Gemara of Gimel. For example, Tosus on Dav Gimel, right, didn't understand the Gemara the way Rashi did. Tosus had a different reading of the Gemara's Kasha of Tolo Yishamu, if you remember. Tosus was basing himself on the Gemara's language that the Gemara responds, Koshkein Data No Deles, Koshkein Shata, the Fishio Shri Kronis. But the bottom line is, what did Tosus say? The Gemara's Kasha was a local Kasha based on the Svar that you just mentioned. For Tosus, there was no new Yisod called Nachas Birshus is a Potem. But Rashi, maybe Lushitaso, does have such a notion. So now you have to know where to go with that. So first we thought, well, so the Gemara gives a teretz of why you can't use Nachas Birshus and Dav Gimel. So that answers the Yad Ramah. And then what is Nata Rishus Mishkalusa add to it? So we played with that. And I saw a bit of that in the commentary on the Yad Ramah and the Baden. But then we wanted to suggest something more mechudish. And that's to start connecting Rashi with the Rambam, which we haven't really dealt with inside, but we know ourselves that the Rambam learns pshat in this halacha of Nata Rishus Mereish Galusa, that it's not just Nugeya Wat, the Ptur Milishalem, that you're getting Rishus, but it's also relevant for gaining the ability to be Kofen. In other words, the Rambam is Cholek on who? On Tosus and the Rosh. They say that a Mumcha L'Rabin Dan Yechidi is Aydek Fiyah. The Rambam says, no, to be Kofa you need Netilas Rishus Mish Galusa. If we pair Rashi with the Rambam, which is not, I say, emphasize, not the way the Shach saw in Rashi, right? The Shach learned that the Rashi's case of Kiblu Alayu was a Kabbalah Stam. And he explains the Homa Halach that that's assuming that I'm Pater Yum Milishalem, because after all, you don't need me to be kofa, you know, to judge me. You can judge anyway. Knows he understood Rashi to hold that Mumchalem could be kofa. Okay, that's fine. That was the Shach's take on Rashi. But one could learn Pshat and Rashi that Rashi holds like the Rambam against Tosus that a Mumchal Rabin cannot be kofa, and that would explain where Rashi needed to say that Ilo Kiblu also means that they're makabel on some level. Whatever that some level means, dinosaur din Torah. Again, how to explain that? But it's some kind of a Kabbalah. Because without that, there'd be nothing. Because you can't be kofer. So Rashi could hold like the Rambam. And if that's the case, then we can understand that the Netilas Rishus Mirish Galusa is giving you the Koach Ladon. Meaning, Bal Korcha. And if that's what Rashi will hold, then Rashi here goes beautifully with Dav Rashi, Dav Gimel. In other words, what the Netilas Rishus is doing is giving you, as a single person, the Koach Ladon, the Kfiyah. That derives from the Reish Galusa. And that, therefore, is called Nachas Bishus. And because you're Nachas Bishus, that's where you put. So if that's the case, the Hefker Beis and Hefker is not the direct cause for why you put. The Hefker Beis and Hefker, the Rashi says later, is more explaining the Koach of the Reish Galusa to be able to give the kind of authority that we're discussing here, namely that you could be, that someone who gets Bishus from him can be Kofel Adam. Why can he give such authority to be kofer ladon? Because what he says about people's money, he can follow up and take away their money. So he can say, come to Beis Din, otherwise, you know, all your stuff is going to get become ownerless. And that's ironically, just to add a little twist, I don't know if I said yesterday, that's ironically the pasuk that Rashi quoted from Ezra. What did the pasuk say? That whoever doesn't come at a certain time, yachron kol chusha. That was the pasuk that Rashi quoted. There were two pasukim the Gemara mentions in Gittin and in Yevamis for Hefker based in Hefker. This was the first, but this one is quite strikingly the most parallel to what we would want in our Gemara, that the Reish Galusa can force people to be done. He can force them to be judged by him, and so to those who he empowers to judge, they can judge by Karcham. And we connect that to Hefker based in Hefker, and which pasuk Hefker based in Hefker? The pasuk of whoever doesn't show up at the point in time, Yacham Kavruchusha. That's the Hefker based in Hefker that speaks to a kfiyah of sorts. You better show up, otherwise, you know, that's it. Your stuff is gone. So it's not Hefker based in Hefker in the money that he's patterning with the Shalem. It's Hefker based in Hefker for the kfiyah, for the authority itself. Memela, that's Archidish. In Rashi, Mela, if you have a Koach Ladun, that's why Patimushai. Okay, understand, that's a shtickle Torah. It's not the way, you know, most read the Rashi. But it answers some of what we're struggling with. It didn't yet fully address the Malchi Paras. Now we'll have to see what to do with the Malchi Paras. But again, we got ahead of ourselves. I wanted to do it because we read the Gemara in the Rashi. You have to know to say something in Rashi. There are many more nuances here with the Hefker Beis Din Hefker and so on in the Lishonos. Let's address now the Rush and the Rambam just on one Nakuda in terms of who it is that this Netilas Rishus can work for. This is also brought in by the Yad Ramah right in the beginning. It's obviously discussing a Mumcha L'Rabim. That's what we started with. And Mumcha L'Rabim is still Chayiv L'Shalem unless one of two things. Unless what? Kiblo Rayu, like the Mezutra was told by Rav Yosef, or, as we have over here in Rav, that he's not delicious. What about someone who's less than a Mumcha L'Rabim? Can Netilas Rishus help him as well? Now, here, you're looking to get the power, not just for being part of Melishale, but you're actually trying to get the power to judge. Because the only one that can judge is a Mumcha L'Rabim. That's what we started with in Daf Hei. So can the Koach HaBeis Galusa, with Hefker Beis and Hefker, if you will, empower somebody who doesn't even have the basic Gamri V'Savri qualifications? So you saw in the Yad Ramah apparently a machlokas about this, and he brings two shitas. Lashon HaYad Ramah, right in the beginning here, couple of lines from where we start of speaking. Okay, so who's Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ba'alachos that he's quoting? The Rif. So this will be the Rif later on in the later parak, Echadini Maminis. The sugya, this parallel sugya, which is very much more extensive in the details of being chayv upatan l'sharim by Yedayin Shetas and Daf Lamed Gimel. The li nira, says the Yad Ramah, that look at the language. Midamrinam hay man de boyer meidan dina v'chitoy lifta. Shma mina da kuyam akoy v'apagav de rabi mumche. So what is he medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara of Rav? Hay man de boyer meidan dina. Who are we speaking to? Anybody. Hay man de boyer meidan dina. Anyone who wants to judge. V'chitoy lifta. If we were speaking specifically about in the Mumcha L'Rabim case, you should just go right to the point and say, "Hi, man, the boy." I mean, I think there's really two nekudas in the diuk. It's the "Hi, man." I think you can look at. I would also maybe think he's medayik from the arichas of the Meidan Dina v'chitay lifta. We were medayik yesterday also, the arichas of Rav. Seemingly, what Rav is saying is that we should become part of Merishalim. So why do you say? Preface the Meidan Dina Vechitoy Lifter. Just say Haiman the Bayi Lifter. Remember, we had that deal right away. So I think that would also be resolved according to the Yad Ramah now. In other words, because you are not yet on the level. Not everyone who is being referred to in the statement of Rav is on the level of Meidan Dina yet. So what are you getting? You're getting that you should be able to judge and be Patim L'Shalim. You're getting two things. By Mumcha L'Rabim, who's not the Rishos, he's gaining just the Ptur Milishalim. By someone who's not a Mumcha L'Rabim, he's not a Gamed V'Savir, he's gaining the Meidan Dina, and on top of that, by. So I would say maybe it's the deal, not just from the Haiman, but it's also the Arichos. Now, we had another answer for the Arichos of the Lashon of the Meidan Dina. That's according to who? According to who? I both say we remember from yesterday. Rambam. According to the Rambam, and maybe as we said now Rashi too, that the Mumcha L'Rabim cannot be Kofer. And that also comes from the Reish Galusa. So then it's very precisely Meduyik in the Lashon of Rav. We're talking about the Mumcha L'Rabim, and we're discussing two things. So Meidan Dinam is the Koach of Kviya, and secondly, the Patim L'Shalim. But understand, if you hold not like the Rambam, you hold like Tosis and the Rush, that a Mumcha L'Rabim can be kofer, then that authority of being kofer doesn't derive from Reish Galus. So then we have to go back to the Lashon of Meidan Dina. Now, if you want, you could say Lav Dafka, it's Meidan Dina, it all goes together. Meidan Dina, to the extent that you're part of Merishalem, it doesn't mean like two things. But it also could be interpreted in light of what the Yad Ramah is saying, not like the Rif that he quotes, that even someone who's not yet a Mumcha L'Rabim, he's not a Gamed V'Savir, he can become qualified to judge and be Patim L'Shalim through the Tiras Rishus. And that would explain the Meidan Dina as well, the double expression. Again, I'm not 100% sure that that's what he was zeroing on in the Diuk. He was just focused on the High Man, but I don't think it's impossible to read it as both. He says, certainly it works. The Meidan Dina can be explained that it gives even someone who's not a Mumcha L'Rabim the Koach, Gedalia.
Oh, I thought, why, according to the Yad Ramah, it could also be Haiman the Boy Lemifterei. Like, the Meidan Dina is not necessarily addressing that aspect. You're just saying any.
You're saying if it would say Haiman Lifterei, it would also be a diuk, because of the Haiman. I'm hinting to that. I understand. In other words, it could be his diuk was in the Haiman, but I think that his diuk is also going to be supported by the Meidan Dina, and that would also validate his position. Because it's relevant, the Meidan Dina is relevant for someone who's not a Mumcha L'Rabim. So you could argue that also gets, you know, that deal that we made ourselves, so Lameid and Dina gets resolved, whether it was his intention to medayagin from that as well, okay, I grant what you say. Maybe he was only with the Haiman, but I think we can use it. Maybe he was also alluding to it, but certainly it works to explain the Meid and Dina is for the person who wasn't yet able to. Only the Mumcha Urabim is allowed, and maybe he could be Kofa too, according to the Tosis. But what about someone who's not Mumcha Urabim? So he can't judge either. But according to this position, the Yarama in the Chanami, the Tiras Rishus gives the not Mumcha Urabim the ability to Patim Rishalim, which obviously also includes that he can be done. And now he presents why it works. And he brings in the Hefker based in Hefker, but it's interesting how he presents it just to see it. Behind the time of the Potter, the Kim Nechshiv, we also share with Yehuda, the Shin Eli Rosh goes to Bavel, Shmamna Midoraisa, Yisrei Goresh Galusa, Rishusa, with Menuya Mandaboy, Vahavwe Kefka based in it. Very interesting Russian. He seems to be like merging two things, and he has a cuff there, Kir Hefka based in, so you have to know what to make of that particular expression. He says, how can it work for everybody, even not a Mumchel Rabin? Because he has a koach, because the Torah says, Yosef Yehuda, Shmamina, Midaraisa, Yisrael Shkalusa, Rishusa. One thing I think is clear from the Yarama, the power of Shkalusa is something that we see in the Torah. What does he not mention? What does he seriously avoid mentioning here? That Rashi says? Malchi Paras. Take Malchi Paras out of the picture, not even Malchi Paras. Shmamna, from the pasuk we see midoraisa isle reshusa, to do what? Reminuim on the boy, to appoint who he wants, appoint as what?
Dayanim.
And we see in the Rambam such a nusach as well, that the Rish Galusa has a koach limnos dayanim, and the havle kehefke bezdin. And that's like a hefke bezdin. What does the havle kehefke bezdin? Then he says something more after that also, okay. Al-Koparim, two shitas in the Yad Ramah. First he quotes the Rif that it wouldn't work for someone non-Mumcha L'Rabin, and then he says it would. What would it work for? Now, he's not Megamei B'Savir. What is he? Is he a zero? He's a low Gomer Klal? And he can get Mishus and Mish Galusa, and that's totally fine. Nothing unethical about that, nothing inappropriate, and it works? Or should we argue that he means, without explaining it, what does he mean? Gomer Velosav. So there is a rush, here and also in the later Perek, that also says that the Halachim Tirus Rishus is not limited to the Mumcha L'Rab. But the Rush does make it clear that we're still talking about a basic standard. Let's look first the Rush by us here. It's an extra couple of words. So he says in the middle of Simon Beis, Omar Rav, Hai man de boy meidan dina the itoy liftar, Rishko Rishusa Mibei Reshkalusa V'cheinah Mashmuel Haiman Dibayu Meidan Dina V'itay Lifta Rishko Rishusa Mibei Reshkalusa. Says the Rush, Mashma Afilu B'yachid She'ein Mumche Afilu Lo Kibru Aleim. And he continues with Bahani Mili and so on from the Gemara. So what did the Rush add that's not explicit in our Gemara? Mashma afil, two things. Mashma the even yachid she'ein mumche and afilo kibrua. Afilo kibrua, that's everyone agrees to, understand. Because kibrua was already mentioned in the Gemara that you could be patur milishalim if they're makabel you. Whatever kabbal was, that's enough to patur you milishalim, but that we had in the Gemara and we'll have again in the Gemara with the two times that Gemara mentions the stories that the person was told. Mazutra, Rabbi Bachani would say that Kibrua Lailo Tishalim. That we know. So this is obviously without Kibrua. But what's new in the Rush is the first Mashma. Mashma Afil B'yachid She'en Mumcha. How does the Rush see it? What's Masma? Where is it Masma? So, in the words Haiman by Meidin Dina, now you can take your choice. You could say in the Haiman, like maybe the Yad Ramah with Masma, or maybe in the Nilu by Meidin Dina, as we're saying that also helps us. If you hold that you can be not to Rishus Ladun, even if you couldn't otherwise, so that would be by Meidin Dina. That's accommodating that. And he couldn't say, if that were his diuk, he couldn't say, well, no, maybe it's only mumcha l'rabim, and but you're gaining the right to be kofeh. The Rosh Kishitasso couldn't say that. But why? Because what did the Rosh hold? They could be kofeh. So the diuk could not be resolved the way we'd said it for the Rambam. The Rosh Kishitasso wouldn't need the diuk reshus to give you the power of kfiyah. Correct? So the Rosh would be able to solve this diuk of Umeid and Dina by saying what he says, that it's even the Yachid Shein Mumche, which is the second Shita in the Yad Ramah. But what standard do we require here? So that the Rosh doesn't say in the first parak, but the Rosh has it later in the fourth parak. The long Rosh, the middle of the long Rosh, the Parak Dalid, like a needle in a haystack here. Let's see if we can find it. The couple of lines. No. Was it?
Second column.
Second column on the left column. We call it a no sagudish kayach. Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. About a little less than halfway down. Yeah. The yachid had yod. Yeah. I'm reading toward the end of the line. Three words before the end of the line. With a period right before it says the yachid had yod. This is in the Oz Vahadar edition. If that's the Gemara you have. Middle of Simen Hey, Perek Dalet Simen Hey, the Yochid Hedyot Oshnaim Hedyotos, Mustami you saw it. The Yochid Hedyot Oshnaim Hedyotos, Unikiti Rishusa Mibeish Galusa, Afapi Delo Kibla Malayu, even though there's no Kabbalah, okay, one or two Hedyotos, Im Tav Shiko Adas, that's Hussein Davav, the type of Tos that we're talking about here. That he's patur milshalim, that he would otherwise be chayv l'shalim, is called a tov b'shikol hadas. The Gemara explains specifically what that means, exactly the nature of the tov. There's a lot of details in terms of the dinim, but tov b'shikol hadas patur v'afil nasim nasim b'yad. Even if he himself take the money from one to the other, kedam le'el per kama. How do we know that a yochid hedyot with nikitas reshus is patur milshalim even without kiblo rayu from the first perek? Amar Shmuel, Haiman debay meidin dina. The Itai lifta link of Shusan Beresh Galusa. He quotes Shmuel. Why does he quote Rav? Very good. Like Shmuel Bedini. That's what I thought also. Yeah. Because the halachis is, I mean, they're saying the same thing anyway. But when if there'd be a machlokas by Dini Maminis, by Yisurin, the halachis is like Rav. Halachisak Rabbi Yisuri. By Choshe Mishpat, the halach is like Shmuel. So if there be a machlokes, he's like Shmuel. So Shmuel has more authority in Dini Maminis. So if Rav Shmuel said a maimra about Dini Maminis, so which one? And the Rosh is a posek here. So who is he going to quote? He's going to quote Shmuel, yeah. Okay. Umashma. Loshna mumcha, loshna ina mumcha. It's mashma, it doesn't matter. The cave in the Yavar of Yeshusa, ki mumcha havi. Wow. When he gives him a shush, he now becomes like a mumch. So that's the koach. Even if he's not a mumch, he becomes like a mumch. That's the koach of Reish Galusa. But now the Rosh says, but you have to know where to draw the line. The dafka degamir velo savir. It has to be what's called gamir. And we saw the definitions already in the Rashi. And we've shown him gamir means having the knowledge, savir being able to analyze the knowledge and infer things further. So dafka gamer below saber avelo gamer below saber pasul edina kedamin perek zebore my ear shloshu baka feel kol beit pasul log mir edina nani tzili v'kim de ivsel ala hanilei reshkul la mahanilei reshusad reshkul said lav kol kaminai lachshu ipsulin. He can make someone who's pasul absolutely pasul into kasher, and he brings a gemara dav zayin that there'll be an onesh for people who are establishing dayanim below gamer. I said kashbrochu iparam imamido. So according to the Rosh, The halacha of tis v'shus goes beyond mumcha l'rabin and extends even to someone who otherwise should not judge. The chacham would not want such a person to judge. Gamer v'lo savir, you need three, not one. Even the whole chadam v'kashim, the raisa that is, midrabanan, we know it's not allowed. But with tis v'shus, yes. With all the ramifications. Lo gamer, that not. So that's the sheet of the Rush, and that's the second sheet of the Yad Ramah, although the Yad Ramah didn't say that it's only limited to Gamibul Asavir, so it's not 100% clear what the Yad Ramah would say. But you do have the Gemara Dav Zayin to reckon with, not to be Maimed Adayin Shein HaHogun, so we couldn't minimize Machlokas and agree and say Yad Ramah agrees to the Rush. Who might argue on this? Who might argue here?
The Rambam.
I say might for reason, because if you want, maybe you could push that the Rambam is only talking about excluding Gomer Klal. But certainly there's room to say that the Rambam argues. So there's a few Rambams that would indicate as such. Which Rambams would indicate to you that the Rambam would hold that the halacha of Mumcha L'Rabin or the halacha of Zilas Rishit is limited to Mumcha L'Rabin and not someone Gomer V'lo Savir? What Rambams would you find for that?
Vav
Dalit. Okay, this is also brought in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Gimel. So the Rambam talks about earlier the inyan of the Patak Tur Milishalim of Netilas Rishit, that's an halacha days. The Rambam certainly understands that the Tilas Rishus helps to be part of Mirushalim. Besides that it helps for Kfiya, it helps for Tum Mirushalim, that's the Kfush as well. The Rambam says in Alakha Dalit, Vav Dalit, Havu Misha Ina Mumche, the Lo Kiblu Oso Baridinin, so there was no Kabbalah of Baridinin. He's not a Mumche. You guys have the Rambam?
Yeah.
Vav Dalit, it's in the packet?
Yeah, the first packet.
Vav Dalit, Silka Sanhedrin, Vav Dalit. Misha ena mumcha v'lo kibro sa balidinim, api shenato reshuts, harei ze bachal balei zroa, ve'ena bachal adayonim. In other words, it's zero. Figach ein din av din, ve'en ta ben lota. And so on. So, what does the Rambam mean, eno mumcha? What? What is he not? So, certainly one could read the Rambam. This is how the Shach reads the Rambam. He's not, what's Mumcha? He's not a Gomer V'Savir, which is what we require when we talk about Mumcha Rambam Dim Dan Yechidi. So, being not a Rishus is zero. Apisha not a Rishus doesn't help you. And that would mean he argues on the Rush. There's also another Rambam. Where's that? Dalid Tezvav, the last halacha. We're going to go back to the other Rambams too, but to see it carefully inside. But the Rambam at the end of Perek Dalid, Dalid Tezvav, Mi she'ena ro'i ladun, Mi she'ena yodea, Mi she'ena hagun, She'avar rosh galus v'nasal rishus, he brings a muscle. You have to know his marker for this muscle. There's a marik on this. But the psukim and shoftim might be the marker. Right? Talks about right next to shoftim shoftim titin lacha. So there's a maimer chazal that a person is Maimir Dain Shinahogun, it's like he's Magdish Balbuma Mizbeach, which means if the animal is blemished and can't be a carbon, there's no Kedusha Saguf that's chal on an animal that has a mum, because it's not fit for the Mizbeach. So too, the appointment of a Dain Shinahogun is null and void. So if the Rosh Gola or anyone else appoints, again, the big question is, what is the Dain Shinahogun that we're talking about here? In Yodea or She'ena Hagun. Again, if we interpret the Rambam that Halacha and Tirus Rishus has to be someone who's Ro'i Ladun, There's another Rambam, no? Where's the other Rambam? If you look at the halacha right before this, the Chol Dayan, this is the halacha of Netilas Rishus. Chol Dayan Haro'i Ladun, Shenasa Lo Rosh Golas Rishus, then the Rambam goes on and talks about the Inyan of Kfiyah. So what does the Rambam start by saying? Who is it that Netilas Rishus speaks to? A Dayan Haro'i Ladun, that's in Dalad Yudalad. And then Misha Eino Roy Ladun because of various things, and then the Rambam in Perek Vav. So putting these Rambams together, one could get the impression that the Rambam argues under us. Why do I say could get the impression? If you want to push back, what are you going to say? The Rambam means Roy Ladun on whatever level, Gomer Bulasavir passes the test. So he's not arguing, and that's apparently how the Sma wanted to say Pshat the Rambam. The Shach disagrees vehemently. The Shach in Simon Gimel references what he writes in Simon Chaf Hei, and he argues on the Sma. And the Shach assumes that for the Rambam, if you're not a Mumcha L'Rabim, you can't gain the benefits of Tilas Rishus Meresh Galusa. That would fit with the Shita that the Yad Ramah quotes in the beginning, that he quotes Rishem Harif. But let's just think for a few minutes here. If we have a Machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush, so how could this play out in a certain way, Lishitasa? On a first and a cheshbon level, in terms of the words of the Gemara, and then maybe on a lamedish level. Okay?
The Rambam needed the Gemara to teach you that.
There was a diuk in the Gemara called the Meidan Dina, and then the Itab by Lishalim. And what was the Meidan Dina coming to add? Okay, you want to make it say lav dafka? You can always fall back on that. It doesn't mean anything. It just means judge to the degree they can put the Moshayim and nothing more. But if you want to make a serious deal of this, then you really have two possible ways to go. If you go like the Rush, if you hold like the Rush, that it's not just the Mumchal Rabin that benefits from the Tilas Vishas Marish Galusa, even someone who's not themselves probably qualified to judge can become qualified. So then that is where the Umeidan Dina fits in. Umeidan Dina allows him to judge where he otherwise couldn't. That would be one solution for the Diuk. But the Rambam doesn't agree with the Rush. But for the Rambam, there's another solution. And what is that? That even if we're limiting to a Mumcha L'Rabin, but there's still something that he couldn't do with that material for sure, separate from the Ptur Mirishale. What is that? Kfiyah. And that, the Rambam holds, is correct, that you could not be kofer without Netilas Rishus. So the Rambam looks at those words, and the Rambam doesn't have to change the case to a case of a gamer v'lo savir. It could be a mumcha l'rabim who's gamer v'savir, but nonetheless he can't be kofer. And the Rambam learns Netilas Rishus grants him the koach to be kofer. And then, of course, there's no reason to assume that he's going to allow him to give him a koach to somebody who can't be done. He has a koach lodin b'tzarashmo, he just can't be kofet. That's what he got from the Reish Galusa. But the Rush couldn't explain the deal that way, because what does the Rush hold about the question of kfiyah? The Rush is like Tosis, that kfiyah works regardless. So therefore, for the Rush, the only solution to the deal, if you want to take the deal seriously, is consistent with what the Rush says. So in that regard, there's an interesting Lishitasa that plays out from how you read the words, who made Andina. The Rambam to the Islay, for the Rambam you can resolve it by saying that the Medan Dina helps you also from Tilas Rishus, it helps you to be Kofa, and still in all we're still talking only Mumcha L'Rabim, but someone less than that couldn't get anything from Reish Galusa. The Rush couldn't say that because he holds that a Mumcha L'Rabim could be Kofa also. For the Rush the answer would be that even someone who's not Mumcha L'Rabim can gain from the Tilas Rishus. That's cute and it's nice and it works. But I think we have to take it to another level. And that's going to try to help us understand the nature of what's happening with the Reish Galusa and where the Hefker Beis Din Hefker fits into this. And here I wanted you to think about this. I'm not going to give you the full answer right now, but I want you to think, we'll start with the Tosis and then so on. L'chaira, there's what to say about the mechanism for how you become part of Milishalim. through the Reish Galus. We can use terms, Melech, Hefker Beisin Hefker, Nachas Bereshus. Exactly what is the Tzira here? What exactly is happening? And why, therefore, does the Rambam hold that it can only be limited to Mumcha L'Rabbi? And the Rush is free to say it could even be for a Gamir V'lo Sever too. So I'll let you think. I'll leave it as a tease here. But who had questions from before? Menachem? Yeah.
If you want to say that somehow you want to work out the Rambam and the Rush, what are you doing with Halacha Tazam Tarjalit? How are you explaining Misha Eino Roy Lug Mipne Sheino Dea or Mipne Sheino Hagan? How do you explain?
Right. So the Rambam gives you two examples. So Eino Hagan could be all kinds of disqualifications that you could put into Eino Hagan. But that's not knowledge. Eino Yodea is a deficiency in knowledge. So now the question is, what's the Eino Yodea? What deficiency is it? Is it deficiency in Gamir, or even if it's deficiency in Savir? That's probably what it hinges on. Eino Yodea. Eino Yodea what? The Mizbar or Eino Yodea the base knowledge? The Sma, I guess, would learn that the Eino Yodea means he's not even Gamir. And the Shach will learn Eino Yodea the level of Gamir v'Savir.
What are the other explanations for me? Ain't a hug,
and I mean when I first. Ain't a hug, dance, ain't a hugun.
Wait, was that
Hasagir?
Especially
like
compared to
like the Kubia,
or like.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. Ain't a hugun could be a lot of that. The other Rambam to talk about the Psula Dayanim, you know, all kinds of things that they make a dying person. Who else had a question? So let's do the following. Let's get a little more of insight into the. The Shevet Mechokek angle of the sugya that Tosus brings in, but keeping an eye toward trying to understand what exactly is the inyan of the Reish Galusa and the Hefker Beisin Hefker or Melech component. Just begin to notice as we look at Tosus and the Ran, just where they're going with that. I just mentioned before we start, just to mention it also, there's a Mefurish Ran on a case that we didn't yet see discussed. Namely, Gimel Hadyotos, Shenatru Rishus. So, Gimel Hadyotos can judge. Can be judged by Kfiyah. Tosus and Rashi explicitly, they can. We thought even Rashi agrees to that. Even if Rashi holds like the Rambam on the case of Mukhil Rabbah, we thought Rashi could agree that Kfiyah Hadyotos could be Kofa. What about to be put in the Lasharin, the Natru Rishus? So that is in the Mefurish Ran. In the Ran earlier on Ikibruch, toward the end of the piece, he says, "V'chein nira shem shlosha yotos natru reshus mireish galusa shem turin milishalim." Just the key. Okay, so we have that in your pocket as well. Okay, what does Tosa say here? The Hacha Shevet, the Hasa Mechokek. The Gemara mentions this to explain why the jurisdiction of the Reish Galusa extends to Eretz Yisrael as well. So he's in a higher level of Svara than the Nasi, who's his counterpart. Mashma, the Shevet Adif. So the Gemara is explaining that Shevet is higher than Mechokek, means Reish Galusa is higher than the Nasi. What's the problem? Rabbeinu Tam asks this kasha in various places in Shas. Tosis quotes this Rabbeinu Tam. V'hada amar b'perek mokum shenohagu. So we have a Gemara in Pesachim in the fourth perek that says, Avo mi bavel le'eret Yisrael, kevan da'anan kaifin lohu, avdinan kavasayu. From bavel to Eretz Yisrael, what is the hey? They changed the lashon. No, what should it say? Good. That's what it says over there. Me'eretz Yisrael l'bavel. Kevan da'anan kaifin lohu, we do like them. What does it mean? Someone comes from Eretz Yisrael to bavel. What's the perek makom shenohagu all about? The beginning, at least. If you go from one place to another, so you have to adopt the minig chumrah of the makom that you came to. Vis-a-vis the makom that you came from, the inyanim of shinoi minhagim from one place to another. So the Gemara says, let's just see exactly the words of the Gemara. Amar Abaye, he's coming to answer a kasha there. Amar Abaye, Hani Mili. It was Gemara had a kasha. What about the Mishnah? No shina magav chumim makam shiyatsu misham, chumim makam shalach isham. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hani Mili, second white line there. Hani Mili mi bavel a bavel, mi erzel eret Yisrael. Rashi says, mi ir li ir mi bavel. So then, kevan de lo kaifi adadi, what is not cuff up to the other, im yeshanem in hagan re'enei and yeshkan me'em achlokas. So you shouldn't do different than where you are. Now, you can't just keep your old minhagim from where you came from, because since each place has its own independent standing, and one is not subservient to the other, the koshkein and all certain when you bubble out your smell, al yeshanes minhag hamakom me'em achlokas. So you're going from Eretz Yisrael, you do what they do in Eretz Yisrael. However, this is why they changed the girsa in the Tosfos, because the Gemara is going, Avam Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, if you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, then you don't have to feel obliged to follow the minhagim of what? Of Bavel. Right? Avam Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Kevan, the Anan Kaifinelohu, Anan is the Gemara speaking in Bavel, we are coupled to Eretz Yisrael, Adina Kavasai. Rashi explains what's the point here. The whole inyan of Al Yishana is Mipnei HaMachlokas. Why is it going to make waves? Because we see ourselves as equals to the other place. So how could you deviate from Arman Hagim to do like the other place? But Bavel doesn't see itself as an equal to Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi explains. The Eretz Yisrael Bavel Yishana Saminog BeBavel Ein Kan Machlokas. It's not going to lead to Machlokas. That's Anan Kaifinalu. Why? The Anan Kaifinalu of Eretz Yisrael, the Inu Smichi. Rashi adds, they have Smicha. They have that tradition, the chain of Smicha, Bavel lo Smichi. So therefore, Abdina Kavasayu, meaning, Imboin Misham Lukan, Ein Lehem Lushanus Ben Hagam, El Osa Kim Koman. Abdina Kavasayu means that a Ben Eretz Yisrael and Bavel can do like Eretz Yisrael, because it's not going to lead to Machlokas, because we defer to Eretz Yisrael. We look up to them. So who's on top? From this Gemara, Eretz Yisrael. And from our Gemara, we see otherwise. That Shevet trumps Machokek. That's the problem that Tosis asks both here and in Chulin and there in Sachin as well. The same Kasha and the same Tirutzim of Rabbeinu Tam, the same Nekudos that are brought in to the Teretz. What is the answer? Let's see our Tosis. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The two different inyanim. The discussion over there is Isser Veheta. The discussion here is Mamonis. And that's where the difference lies. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Hani Mili, this that the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is on top, Hani Mili b'milsa de Issa v'heter, regarding halachas of Issa v'heter. So there we introduce the notion of Eretz Yisrael being higher, d'bnei Yisrael chakim yitfei. They are considered to be wiser. What makes them wiser? D'avir de Eretz Yisrael machkim. This is in the Gemara in Baba Basra, I think. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim. I'd like to quote it. It's a Gemara. The ear of Eretz Yisrael makes someone wise. Rav Zero wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael for that reason. They quote the Gemara. Where's the Gemara? It's in Baba Basra, yeah. So Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Kida Amar Hachad Ikru Machokek. And that's why it goes well with the point of Machokek here. What is the Nasi? What's Eretz Yisrael? They teach Torah. Shemulam the Torah Barabbi. So Tosus brings in the idea of Avir Der Zomachkin. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi said in Tzachim the fact that they're smicha. But the reason we defer to Eretz Yisrael is because they in Torah, they're higher. And that's why the definition of Machokit fits for Eretz Yisrael, as Tosus says. However, what's our discussion? Abul in Hafkas Mamon, we pater. What's our discussion, our sugya, about? It's about becoming pater milishalim as a dayan who made a mistake. So who has a greater authority over being able to be mafkia mamo? There the greater koach lies in Bavel. The hefker based in hefker, of course mamon become pater because the hefker based in hefker, adifi b'nei Bavel. There the koach of being mafkia mamon is stronger in Bavel to ikushevet. Sherodim es ha'ambimak. So, regarding the context of Asugya, which is Mammon, being Mafkia Mammon, there the Koach of Babel is stronger. The Torah, which means, where did it come from? The Torah gave the greater Koach to the Rashi Gola. And the Nasi doesn't have the same kind of Koach of Hefker based in Hefker like the Reish Galusik does. But Tosus doesn't stop with that. So that's basically the answer. No steer to the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim is discussing Yanim of Halacha. So the Eretz Yisrael is higher. And here we're discussing in Yanim of Hefker based in Hefker, that's where the Koach above is stronger. Tosus continues. In Tzachim, I don't think he adds what he's going to add now. In Tzachim, he gives the Kasha Ben Utam, Hekam the Sanhedrin, Omar Pshita, Mehachal Asim, Mahani, Hachashem, Mahokek, Masham de Babel Adifi, Betirates. The Hani Milef Koy Mamona, says Tosis in Tzachim. Avalin, and Issa Beheter, Usmicha, he adds Usmicha, Bnei Eretz Adifi, Shalom Dim Tov Rabin, Daminan, Avid Eretz Machke. That's, I mean, but Tosus here says something more. Why doesn't Tosus say more there? Because Tosus here was only concerned with Tzachim. So Tzachim, the issue is Nugeya, Issa Beheter, so Eretz Yisrael is on top. Our sug is discussing the Mammon. So why, in fact, did the Torah give a greater Svara of Mammon to Reish Galusa? Why? So that doesn't concern Tosus and Tzachim. He answered the Kasha, so there's no need to add anything else. Here Tosus says more. What is it? Why did Torah assign a greater koach of a mammonist to Reish Galusa? V'hainu taima mishum derosh gola mischarim the nasi shevet sal min akevos to the amav Yerushalmi. What is he referring to? What kind of Yerushalmi? What does it mean? What is he referring to? Anyone venture a guess? What does he say? No, what do you think? What? Okay, so what does it mean? So it's a Medrash Rabbah. So, what's the pasuk? Lo yasir shevet Yehuda. We're talking about a chain that descends from shevet Yehuda. And Yehuda is the shevet that represents leadership, Malchus. And Yaakov's bracha was that there's going to be two lines of Malchus, a quasi-Malchus, that are descending from Yehuda and remains within the province of Shevet Yehuda. But there's a distinction between them. There's a line of Rashi Gola, a Svara Rashi Gola from Yehuda, and there's a line of Nesius, Eretz Yisrael, that's also associated with Yehuda in a different way, Mibein Raglav. What's the difference? Rosh Golem Mizacharim. In other words, the descendancy of the Rosh Gola from Yehuda is Ben, Achaben, 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 Achaben. In other words, it's the lane, the patriarchal line. That's the Rosh Gola. So they come straight from Yehuda, Ben Achaben. The other one, the other chain of Nesius, also can be traced back to Yehuda, but that's Minakevos. In other words, along the way, so there was a female from Yehuda that married a different Shevet. So yes, the Nesius can still trace itself back, but it won't be Ben Achaben. That's Minakevos. And it's clear from the Tosfos Yerushalmi, there's a Shalmi, there's a Midrashim, Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So he said he comes from David, but Minakevos. In other words, there was along the way there was a female that married someone, and it's still from David, but not in the same way. So we don't have time to speak this out, but maybe tomorrow, beginning of Shia, we'll see. But you can look at it. We don't say. There's a beautiful Briska Rav and Chumash. If you ever have a chance to pick it up, you can pick it up. It's in Parshas Vayelech, and he quotes this Tosfos in his Gemara. And he says a beautiful thing. He explains a lot of things with it, but just for Yanenu. Well, Yasu Shevet Ni Yehuda, Mechokin Bein Raglav. There's two lines with different descriptions. Yehuda is the Shem HaShevet. That's the Shevet's name. In other words, that's Ben Achaben. Because Mishpachosam Aveis Avosa. So that's what the Torah specifically, when referring to the chain of Shevet, the Reish Galusa, the Pasuk says, Mi Yehuda. because the shame of the shevet stays as long as it's ben achaben, the mispachos and veisavosim. But when we're talking about the line of the nesius, which was minakevos, so it's not miyehuda, it's mibein raglav, means it descends from him, comes from him. And that's not miyehuda in the same way, but it's also connected to Yehuda, but not the shevet itself, not the shema shevet. The actual lashonos, mibein raglav, there's different ways to explain how the mibein raglav speaks to the inyan of mechokek. The lashon of the braisa is melamdim Torah barabim. So some explain, maybe Rashi and Chumash is mashma that way, Mefarshim and Rashi, because when they used to learn, you know, ba'afar agleim, as it says in Mishnah and Avos. The Talmidim would be on the ground, and they would be, the way it would look in the learning would be the image, mibein raglav. They would be down on the floor, and the Rebbe would be on top, and whatever. So that could be, or it could be a euphemism for nekevos. That's another way you can explain it. There are all different ways to learn it, but the common denominator is that there's Yehuda and Mibein Raglav. Yehuda is the chain of Rashi Gola, that's the Charin. Mibein Raglav, that's the Kevos. Okay, that's more or less, more details you can look on your own. But there's more here. We have to just think about it, how to touch it up better. So there's the Koach of Svara in two different manifestations. There's a Koach of Svara in terms of Torah, and that's Nasi. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Mechok bin Raglav. Mechokik means the lawgiver. And then there's a Koach of Svara of, you could say, the Gashmias, right? The brute force, the Shevet, the power over the money. That's the Rashi Gola. And you'll see some of this in the Rambam that I gave you from Mishnah and Pirshah Mishnah and Bechoros. And that seems to be, both seem to be connected to Yehuda in a different way. But the Torah granted this power, and that's the Torah shows that the Shevet has a greater status. There's two other Gemaras, you can take a peek at it. We'll see me beginning of Shir tomorrow. The Gemaras in Chulin I gave you, so interesting, in Yanin, the Gemara in Horius, the Seder. But we have to come back to the Inyan itself. That's, don't get sidetracked, this is nice, but Hefka Beijin Hefka, how does that speak to the Inyan that we're discussing? How does that speak to the Torah of Salem and to the authority that you're getting at the time. Okay.